We're in week three of four weeks, four different looks at parables, short stories that Jesus told to try and bring deeper and mysterious, sometimes mysterious truths to life, stories that Jesus told to help us see the truth about God. And sometimes that seeing in these short stories is easier than others. This morning's parable is from the Gospel according to Luke chapter 18, verses 1 to 8. Then Jesus told them a parable about their need to pray always and not to lose heart. He said, "In a certain city there was a judge who neither feared God nor had respect for people. In that city there was a widow who kept coming to him and saying, 'Grant me justice against my opponent.' For a while he refused, but later he said to himself, 'Though I have no fear of God and no respect for anyone, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will grant her justice, so that she may not wear me out by continually coming.' And the Lord said, 'Listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God grant justice to his chosen ones, who cry to him day and night? Will he delay long in helping them? I tell you, he will quickly grant justice to them. And yet, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth?'" Here ends the reading from God's holy word. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Oh God, we give you thanks for your word, for the chance to gather around it and to come with hearts and minds open, looking for the seed of truth that might help us to grow as your people, to be more faithful in our calling to be your disciples. God, we pray for the gift of your Spirit, that it would surround us in this place, that it would fill the words that are spoken, that it would surround the hearts and minds present here, so that you may be known to us, so that we may receive the promise of your grace and mercy for this day. In Jesus' holy and precious name we pray. Amen. Jesus says, "And will not God grant justice to his chosen ones who cry to him day and night? I tell you, he will quickly grant justice to them." Is that true? I mean, this is a 2,000-year-old text. Quickly, 2,000 years later. Look around you. I know some of you are like me and are constantly picking up your phone with news alerts. God will quickly grant justice to them. Is that true? That's the question that the parable begs. It's a parable about persistent faith, about enduring hope. It's about the need to pray and to hope. Jesus leaves it with the question, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith? Will you be able to hold on and endure in hope? That's the question. But another question might be, what kind of God requires our persistence when we are facing pain or injustice or grief? Who is this God that is not as quick as we might like? This is the central operative question that comes to bear when it's about holding on to faith or not holding on to faith. Is this God that we read about, is this true or is it not? And that question, it can drive you away from God. It can drive you as far away from God as you could get. It could turn your sadness into just withdrawing altogether. It could turn your anger into being cynical. It could turn your pain into just being hopeless. About a week and a half ago, I was up in the mountains at the Wild Goose Festival, which is about as weird as it sounds. But it's this festival of arts and music and theology, and it's out in the middle of nowhere by the French Broad River, and there's people camping out, and it's all outdoors, but there are some of the most impactful and renowned Christian thinkers and artists that we have there presenting. And one of the sessions that I attended was featured Ruby Sales, who was an activist in the 50s and 60s. And she was with the Student Nonviolent Coordinating Committee in the South. Snick, as some of you may know if you know your history, and she's an elder now. She's older. She's lived through that struggle, and as you can imagine, for somebody who's seen that much of the world, Ruby Sales doesn't put up with a lot of, she doesn't suffer fools, let's put it that way. And so we were in this conversation with the event president of the Goose, as people call it, and there were a couple hundred folks gathered around under this one of those big white event tents, and it was hot, and there was no air moving under this tent, and in unison, 200 or 300 people were fanning themselves, and this conversation, we're just talking. She was just talking and ruminating about the world that we live in, and the subject came up about the images and the sounds and the pain of those families who had been separated at the border. And she reflected on that, and she reflected on what it means to hold that pain and hold that the pain of those people and the place that they come from and what would lead them to such desperation. And then she turned to her conversation partner, and she said she was asking for his thoughts about all this pain. And he was quiet for a minute, and he said, I don't feel equipped to respond right now. Because the person who was speaking had known this pain. She had felt this pain in her own life, in her own body, in her own story. And he didn't feel equipped to talk about it, but he was moved by it. He was sort of choked on his tears. And I knew exactly how he felt, because if I had had the microphone in that moment, I would also have not known what to say. Because here's somebody who spent so much of her life trying to change, trying to impact, hoping that the promises of God will be true for every child of God. And she was pointing out how there's still this brokenness around us. And I never thought it would be possible, but the North Carolina air under that tent was heavier, actually, in that moment. Quiet. And finally, Ruby Sales broke the silence. She said, Jeff, I have to tell you, and I love you, she said, but I have to tell you that if the folks in the midst of whatever trauma they're living in are being asked to endure that trauma, if they are being asked to be witnesses to this pain, then we have to be witnesses to it too. If they can't look away, then we can't look away. If they can't escape it, then we can't escape it. If they have to persist without giving into despair and hopelessness, then neither can we. Fred Craddock says that this parable presents prayer as continual and persistent, hurling its petitions against long periods of silence. Some folks know what that's like. Some folks are equipped to teach us, to teach the rest of us, what it means to have enduring hope and what it looks like to have hope in the midst of those long silences from God. And those people who have lived through those kinds of silences, they can tell us where to find God when we feel like our prayers are going unanswered, and how to rise again after we've gone to the judge three times and not heard an answer. They can teach us how to witness the inhumane without losing our humanity. They teach us how to hold fast to love and to joy even in the midst of long seasons that are filled with grief and pain. Craddock, he wonders, he says, I wonder if the petitioner is being hammered through long days and nights of prayer into a vessel that will be able to hold the answer when it comes. Persons of such a prayer life can only wonder at those who speak of prayer with the smiling facility of someone drawing answers from a hat. But some of us talk about prayer like that, right? Like, I prayed about it, and it's kind of like, well, I hope God shows up. But I never prayed like I was being hammered at before. I never had my heart that broken before. I've never been that angry. I've never been that fed up. I've never been that sick. Never been that sad. Never been that grieved. I never prayed like my life depended on it, because in a very real way it did depend on it. That's never been my life. For some of us, that's just not so much part of our story. We've managed to live our lives without enduring that way. We've not endured the loss of a spouse. We've not endured the loss of a child. We've not lived through having our worthiness questioned. We've not had to inject chemotherapy into our bodies in hopes that we will have a few more days. We've not had to shelter our children from violence. We've not had to go hungry so that our children wouldn't. And some of us right now might be looking around at the world and seeing what's happening, and we might be angry at injustice, and we might be developing a connection to other people's pain that we haven't had before, and we're wondering what to do with it and how to hold on to it without being undone by it. And so we might be all of a sudden feeling pain and outrage that we never felt before. And we may be experiencing a fatigue and a wonder if our hope and our belief in God's promises can endure. But this is not new. It might be new to some of us, but it's not new to everybody. That's my point. And all around us, there are people who have lived through all kind of stuff, who have reservoirs of enduring hope from which we can draw if we will be quiet for a minute and listen to them. Like we did that day under that tent, listening to Ruby Sales. And will God not grant justice to His chosen ones who cry to Him day and night? I tell you, He will quickly grant justice to them. Is that true? That's the question the parable begs of us. It's the question that could drive you away from God. It could drive you into withdrawal. It could drive you into cynicism. It could drive you into hopelessness. Or it could also drive you towards your neighbor. It could specifically drive you towards your neighbor who has a story to tell. The one neighbor who has been called out of tears and despair, who can tell you a story of hope and beauty that can teach you what it means to have hope that endures. And if that story is your story, then that your story could be the thing that is the presence of God to someone who needs to know what it means to persist and endure in hope. Somebody might need to know how you went through hell and lived to tell the story. Somebody might need to know how you're walking through hell right now, but you're still insisting on praising God in the moment. Somebody might need to know how you survived, how you came through the pain and brokenness that you've been through, and yet held on to God's promises being true for you. Our search for this God who will hear the cries of His children, who will move quickly on their behalf, our search for that God who will bring healing and new life, the healing and new life that we want to see so desperately in every place around us, will drive us. That search will drive us to the people around us in whom God shows up. People who know both pain and hope. People who know what it means to lose and what it means to gain. People who knows what it means to live through both death and resurrection. And see, when we are driven to those people who have those stories of enduring hope, in them we meet Jesus. Because think about what you might know from Scripture about how Jesus prayed. Scripture says sometimes Jesus prayed all night. The night on which He was betrayed, the night in which His friends sold Him out, the night in which before He was executed, He went to the Garden of Gethsemane, and the Scripture says that He knelt there and He prayed so hard that the sweat fell like blood from His brow. I never prayed like that before. But maybe some of you have. Maybe some of our neighbors have prayed like that and found the strength to pray as Jesus did, not my will, but yours be done. To endure in the hope of God, for the hope of all things, that all can be made right. And it could be, I don't know for sure how we live, how we wait. I don't have an answer, an easy answer. But it could be that praying and hoping will create in us a kind of desperation that we will finally pray the prayers of people who mean them. And that finally our desperation for the fulfillment of God's promises will come to reflect the desperation in God's heart for us to know God's promises. Maybe it is that if we pray long enough, we'll receive the grace we need from God to make us the answers to our own prayers, to create a hunger in us to create the kind of world we are asking God to give us. So could it be that finding desperation in a moment, in this moment, is the posture that will lead us to the kind of lives that can make us instruments of God's peace? Frederick Douglass said, I prayed for 20 years, but I received no answer until I prayed with my legs. We keep praying and hoping that God will save us. In the end, it could be the praying and hoping that does it. Let us pray. Oh God, some of us never had to pray like we mean it before. We never had enough pain to make it worth shouting at you. Never had enough of a struggle to make it worth wrestling with you. We were never angry enough at you to push you away. But around us are some folks who have. We pray that you would give us the eyes to see and the ears to hear how they show us how to love you, and how to love each other, and how to hope, and how to endure in that hope. And we pray, God, that the more we pray like we mean it, the more we have a genuine hunger for the world to be as you see it. That this hunger would create in us a posture where we will be ready to not only pray for it, but to work for it also. To pray not only with our words, but to leave this place and pray with our legs. In the name of the Christ who prayed with his words and with his hands and with his feet spread out wide. Amen.